And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each in his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Neglected to mention, we have one person who came from Italy in the congregation. Deacon Kevin Ewing came in from Rome the other night to come back to be with us for Christmas from Rome. So, six months from now, he'll be Father Kevin, so we're keeping him in our prayers. One of the things that we're surrounded by at Christmas time is the whole idea of giving. Some gifts are tangible, some maybe less so, some more sentimental, nostalgic, even spiritual. You know, I was very recently saw a little clip of a girl on Christmas morning, and she wasn't expecting it. And they have this little video up on the internet of her reaction when her mom and dad present her with her Christmas gift. The cutest little puppy you could ever see. The little girl, who couldn't have been more than maybe 8 or 9 years old, is elated. She bursts out in tears. And over keeps going back and forth between "Thank you, Mom and Dad," and "He's so cute. Thank you, he's so cute." She's just taken by it. You know, we have all kinds of gifts. This afternoon, we exchanged gifts over in the rectory. Funny, my dog got as many gifts as I did. Actually, I prayed for a beard for Christmas, and I got it. It just came in the wrong color. You know, there's a lot of gifts, and we know one thing about gifts, though. The wrapping is attractive, but until we unwrap and open the gift, we don't know what it is, much less how to use it. You see, when you read the Christmas story out of Luke's Gospel, we see the evangelist writing that story, telling us this gift that, for the most part, on the part of the world, was overlooked. Most people had no idea what was happening. Perhaps Mary and Joseph, most of all. But the world, for the most part, didn't know. And for those that did, some saw it as a threat. But this account of Jesus' birth is a pivotal moment in human history. Because, my dear friends, tonight, as we come together, we celebrate not just the birthday of a human being, Jesus Christ. We celebrate an event, a great gift to humanity. God taking on our human flesh. The most intimate encounter that God can have with humanity, becoming one of us, one with us in all things but sin. You know, over the Advent season, we spent a good 4 weeks of preparing ourselves for this celebration. And we know that just in terms of the things that we had to do in getting ready for Christmas, the shopping, the cards, the preparations with decorating, maybe travel plans, all of those things that need to fall into place to make this celebration to be, if not perfect as it could be. Hopefully we also spiritually prepared ourselves. We heard early on in the Advent season that we need to be awake, to wake up from our slumber, to be ready because the day of the Lord was coming. And that was our challenge here at St. John's that we took on, to ready ourselves for an encounter with the Lord. Then we heard from John the Baptist, that voice crying out in the wilderness, telling us to make straight the way of the Lord, make clear a path. Even as we know that as human beings, so often, we know that our paths have obstacles. Sometimes, oftentimes, of our own constructing. Our struggle with trying to encounter the Lord is sometimes clouded, blocked by our sin, by our past hurts, maybe by our confusion, even our questions. And so we talked a little bit and hopefully experienced the remedy that those walls that we construct, sometimes by our bad choices, sometimes by holding to our past hurts, and oftentimes by the sins we commit, need not be debilitating, need not keep us from encountering the Lord and His love and His mercy. When we celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, when we go to confession, we hear those words, "I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your sins are forgiven." See, God gives us a grace to anything that we're struggling with. It's mercy. It's reconciliation. It's restoration. That's the message of Christmas. But we also know that we can't just say, "Well, I do these things that are bad, God forgives me," and we just kind of go into that circle and keep repeating ourselves. Although sometimes, let's face it, that's exactly what we do, isn't it? How do we sustain ourselves? We come and we have to engage in prayer. If we have a relationship with someone that we care for, we spend time with them, don't we? If we have a relationship with a person, a spouse, a significant other, a close friend, we spend time with them. We get to know them. They get to know us as we are, not just as a casual acquaintance, but on a more intimate level. The same holds true with God. We can know about God. We can read about God. We can study about God. But it wasn't that Jesus said that it's good and holy and enough to know about Him, to know about God. God wants nothing more than for us to know Him, to enter into relationship with Him, to encounter Him. And we do that as we really engage and commit ourselves to a life of prayer, to really commit ourselves to the path of holiness. Not holiness that disconnects us from everything in life, but a holiness that leads us to wholeness, to knowing that regardless of what the world puts out there for us or the circumstances that we find ourselves in, that we need not be afraid, we need not be overwhelmed. We know that Mary and Joseph did not have it easy. What got them through it? Just finding out that his betrothed was with child and that child wasn't his. Mary, a teenager, looking forward to a marriage, being told that she's going to be the mother of God, the mother of Jesus. It wasn't in their plans. What got Mary to the point of being able to say yes? What got Joseph to the point of saying, I won't just divorce her quietly, much less expose her to the dictates of the law, a law that would say that she should be sentenced to death? It was that each of them opened their hearts to the Holy Spirit in their lives. You see, my dear friends, in baptism we are gifted with the Holy Spirit. Hopefully in the sacrament of confirmation, we prayed that that gift be unleashed in our lives. But every day it needs to be renewed. That gift needs to be unwrapped, unpackaged, opened, and utilized. How do we do it? It's in the school of prayer. It's in opening ourselves to God, touching us, to opening ourselves to an encounter. To not being content with God being an idea, a nostalgic thought, a sentimental concept, but God who wants to be in a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And so here we find ourselves at the edge of the beginning of our Christmas celebration, confronted with a gift that God once for each of us. You see, God encountered us first in the very act of creation. God created man and woman in his own likeness. Yes, we human beings wandered astray, didn't we? We messed things up. We made some bad choices. We saw other things as more appealing than communion with God. God never gave up on us as individuals or as a people. And we celebrate today the lengths that God would go to, becoming one with us. You see, we welcome that baby in the manger who really meant nothing less than salvation for the world, for all those who would receive him. You see, that love was so deep that it wasn't just a love that became incarnate and taking on flesh. It was a love that went so deep that that flesh allowed itself to be given up, offered up on the cross. That flesh that became our lifeline, restoring us into oneness with God. That flesh, that blood that we receive in the Eucharist, His body and blood, His soul and divinity. That strengthens us, that transforms us, that makes us into the people we're called to be, because we need not go it alone. The scriptures tell us the people that walked in darkness, according to Isaiah, have now seen a great light. This child whose birth we celebrate today is called Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God who is with us. God who never leaves us alone. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't forget us. Now maybe there are times that we forget God. But you know what? Every time we start building that wall or erecting an obstacle or a hurdle, His mercy calls us to tear it down, to begin anew, to continue to enter into communion with Him. You know, if it's been a while since you thought about God, maybe been to church, maybe you have questions bouncing all over your head about what's the meaning of life? What's the purpose? Is God really real? How could God even love me? You know, I think that's the biggest lie we buy into, that we think that we're not good enough, not holy enough, not whatever enough for God to be able to do anything with us. Nothing could be farther than the truth. And I tell you today, the church, this parish, stands ready to walk with anyone who wants to make that journey. We are here every week. We are here every day. Know that God is waiting for you. And we as a community want to accompany anyone who wants to walk with us in growing closer to the Lord. Is this a perfect parish? No. Someone once said, the parish takes on the personality after a while of its pastor. So I'll tell you today, this parish is pretty messed up. But you know what? Despite our bruises, despite our bumps, despite our imperfections, this is a place where we encounter the Lord. It's not dependent on perfection. It's not dependent on us having our acts together. All it's dependent on is having our hearts open, ready to not just receive the gift of Jesus, but to unwrap it. If you're one of those that are dealing with those questions or struggle as to how to connect or reconnect, I really encourage you to pick up a bulletin today. We have a process starting next month called Alpha. And I'd love to invite you to it. It's not for the perfect. It's for those who question. It's not for the ones who've already completed and they're so perfect and so holy. As a matter of fact, if you're perfect, we don't want you there. Because you wouldn't need it. It's about those who want to explore what it means. And so I encourage you to pick up the bulletin. And starting January 17th, we'll be meeting every Tuesday night for a meal, a presentation, and a discussion. No commitments, no expectations, just a journey together to find out exactly what it is that God's calling us to, who it is that God is, what the questions in life, how they can be answered, how we can make sense out of them. I invite you. If you can't make it starting in January, we're going to do it again, and we'll be doing it again after that. 11 Tuesday night, so I invite you to just maybe take a look at it. When you're fiddling around on the computer, go to the website for the parish over the next couple of days. Check it out, register, or give us a call and we'll get you signed up. But most of all, wherever you are in your faith journey today, know that you are not alone, nor do you ever need to be. The Lord wants to make that journey with us. And we are a community here committed that if you'll let us, to walk that journey with you as well. Amen.